Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions. They're coming in from all over the world. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org. Our resource consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Do remember that when you join the CRI support team, be pleased to send you any one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org/donate. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone calls. First up is Beyonce, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Beyonce.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
All right. So my question is kind of pertaining to something I've kind of stumbled upon throughout my life, I guess, recently. This is sort of addressing a group called the Israelites United in Christ, and their claims are that only the 12 tribes of Israel are to be saved, that Jesus Christ only came to save the house of Israel, and of course they use the Bible to, I guess, back up their claims. There's several different scriptures that they use to back up their claims. I guess just, have you heard of this group, and what are your thoughts of their claims that only salvation is for the Israelites or the tribe of, or the house of Israel?
Yeah, it's a very pernicious movement. The Christian Research Journal deals with the umbrella group, the Black Hebrew Israelite movement. But Israel United in Christ, subsection of that, is about blacks and Hispanics who must learn the truth that they are the biblical 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And it does take texts like Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Exodus 20 to prophesy Israelites coming to America on cargo slave ships and the experience of the Israelites from the conquest of the Americas in 1492 until the slave trade and the curses that repeated as a sign. And so this is a one of these groups that makes a sense of identification between the kind of slavery that took place prior to the Civil War in the United States and the slavery that the ancient Hebrews were subjected to in Egypt before the Exodus. But this is a group that has many, many problems. Apart from the butchering of history and scripture, it has the problem of making literal Israelites the descendants of the promise. So they say these Black Hebrew Israelites are the literal Israelites. They are the literal descendants of the promise. This is complete nonsense. This is the kind of nonsense that has been pervaded by the Book of Mormon as well. I mean, they make all kinds of stories about Lamanites and Nephites and so forth, which have no basis whatsoever in history. Archaeology disproves it, anthropology disproves it, and these people are doing essentially the same thing. There's simply no historical basis for the claim that these groups constitute the literal descendants of ancient Israel and the promise. And these groups end up in the process of their dialogue becoming extraordinarily racist. And they also reject Jesus as Messiah in many cases. So what they do is they compromise, confuse, and outright contradict essential Christian doctrine. They misread the scriptures. They use them as pretext for their own convoluted notions. And they're extraordinarily divisive. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dale. He's listening in Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dale.
Hank, I'm contending about the story that I once heard with Mahatma Gandhi. I actually had dinner with a grandson about 1966-67. I asked him, was it true that his grandfather once said, I'd be a Christian if it weren't for Christians? And he laughed, and he was thrown out of the New Delhi Methodist Church one Sunday morning, raised his fist, and he said that. And I said, what a shame, because your grandfather could have had a chance of changing the religious course, the religious history of India, possibly, because he loved Jesus Christ. If he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ and not on Christians, he'd have been a lot better off. And so I'm contending that we Christians need to look at ourselves. I don't think much of Christians, frankly, across the board. They let me down. But my eyes are always on Jesus Christ and his word, not upon Christians. If my faith were upon Christians, I'd be an atheist. So I just wanted to make that comment. And again, thank you for your show. God bless you.
God bless you. And what I would say in this regard is that Christians are doing incredible works all over the world. There are many Christians who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips, but simply reduce Jesus Christ to a means to their end, as opposed to Christ being the end. So there are the prosperity gospel kind of Christians. There are Christians that are Christian in name, but in reality, they're not participants in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But there are also many Christians who are doing extraordinary things for the kingdom. You think about, for example, what has come about as a direct result of Christians giving. The giving that Christians have done is absolutely extraordinary, particularly when you talk about the war generation. Millennials are not necessarily givers in the same sense that the war generation was, but you think about the Christians who have accomplished so much because they caught the joy of contagious giving. They spread the gospel around the globe. They enabled people to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked, to care for the sick. They founded great centers of Christian education, countless hospitals. They funded myriad relief organizations, and they left an indelible mark. So when we talk about Christians, we have to recognize that there are genuine followers of Christ who are making an incredible difference in our culture. And we must not forget what Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. But there is all kinds of salt, or there are all kinds of genuine Christians who are making an impact. And I can tell you that as the head of a large ministry, how many people are giving sacrificially, how many people are really interested in becoming useful tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of changing the lives of people for a time and for eternity. I think about the prayer of David. He thanked God for the privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. And so we thank God for the people that follow in his train. They're very grateful for supporting ministry, and they're involved as reproducing disciple makers themselves. So I just don't want to tar and feather all Christians as though there isn't a genuine. Of course, there is. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Brian next, listening in Colorado, Series XM 131. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
So I've got a person that is dear and close to me who has converted into a Jehovah's Witness. He grew up Catholic and is now a Jehovah's Witness, and he's trying to push this stuff onto me, and we get into heated debates over this, and he's really good at what he does. He beats me at quoting scripture a lot, and I was wondering if you have a specific resource, a Trump card, that can help me out with this.
Well, we do have resources, and you can find them on the web at equip.org, but I think what's really important here is to stay with the main and the plain things, which is to say you can go off on rabbit trails, but if you stay with the main and plain things, you're well-served, and in the process, you'll become an ever more useful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. The main and the plain things have to do with the Watchtower Society compromising the nature of God. So they'll teach their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking three-headed God invented by Satan and that Jesus is merely a God. Well, if you understand essential Christian doctrine, you can point out that this is a contradiction of the main and plain teachings of Scripture. It's a contradiction of the teaching that Jesus Christ is divine, They say that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, who during his earthly sojourn was merely human, and who, after his crucifixion, was recreated as an immaterial spirit creature. So what's the trump card there? Well, it's be able to show that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God, that the very acts of Jesus demonstrates that he's God, and Christ overtly claimed to be God. So if you understand the essentials of the Christian faith and the main and plain teachings that back that up, you can use the truth as a way to destroy the counterfeit. Now, what do counterfeiters do? Well, they counterfeit that which is real. So someone that wants to detect them, they become so familiar with the real that when the counterfeit looms on the horizon, they recognize it instantaneously. So my advice is not to try to get into all the deviations of the Watchtower organization, but really become conversant with the essentials of the Christian faith and how to defend them. I developed a flip chart in this regard. It's called Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. You can find it on the web, equip.org, and we'll be right back.
The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, is a film that you can watch again and again, using it as a tool to touch the lives of others in a truly transformational way. Whether it be for a believer or skeptic, it's hard to imagine a more meaningful gift as we head into the Christmas season. To receive a copy of The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Did you know that with each passing year, it's easier to find atheists in university philosophy departments than in physics departments? The reason is that physicists are increasingly unable to explain away the unfathomable intelligence that is becoming evident as science unfolds the exquisite fine-tuning of the universe. But atheist philosophers, often unburdened by the discoveries of science, are more inclined to dismiss discoveries that fail to fit a worldview allowing them to live as masters of the universe. The stunning film The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, and it's time that atheists and agnostics take notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Jomo up next, Washington, D.C., Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jomo.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good talking to you.
Yeah, my pleasure. I just had a question. That explanation that you just gave to that gentleman about Jehovah's Witnesses, that's exactly why I called, because I have been going back and forth with them for many years, and each time I try to go back, I get frustrated because they keep changing. And the thing that frustrated me most recently was the understanding about Jesus Christ when they talk about John 1 and also in Hebrews 1. And then the other thing was how they present him as Jesus Christ as being the firstborn of creation. What does that mean? And I don't think it means that he was actually born or created. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, and I think you're alluding here to the passage. It's not just a passage, but the passage, which says that in the beginning you have the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. But then that is now accentuated by the words of Paul in Colossians, where Jesus is called the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, firstborn in context cannot mean the first one born. What it means in context is that he is preeminent. David is referred to in Psalm 89 as the firstborn. Obviously, he wasn't the first of Jesse's sons. He was the last of Jesse's sons. So what you have is firstborn, meaning preeminent, prime position. Another example would come from Genesis 41, where Manasseh was the firstborn and Ephraim was the secondborn, yet in Jeremiah 31, Ephraim is called my firstborn. Again, it's not because he's the first one born, it's because he has the preeminent or prime position. But contextually, look at what follows. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses have to change that text. They insert the word other there because they want to say exactly what you said, that God creates Jesus, and then Jesus becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. But the text very clearly says he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So the John 1 passage, the Colossians 1 passage, and even the Hebrews that you alluded to, all point to Jesus as the pre-existent God. Because in Hebrews, you have God the Father himself saying that Jesus is God. When God the Father says, but about the Son, the Father says, your throne, O God, will last forever and forever. And there are many other ones, so to speak. You got John 1, you got Colossians 1, you have Hebrews 1, you have Revelation 1, you have 2 Peter 1. So many, many passages point to the fact that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God. Now, as I mentioned to the previous callers, this is the biblical claim that Jesus Christ is God. But Christ himself claimed to be God, as chronicled in the Scriptures, and the works of Christ back up his claims to be God. He demonstrated supernatural authority over fallen angels, demonstrated supernatural authority over death. He demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness, and the story goes on. Biblically, Jesus demonstrates supernatural authority over the forces of nature in general. Only God can do that, and only God is sinless, and this is the credential that Christ claims. He claims to be sinless, and none of his antagonists can uproot those claims because they are rooted in irrefutable fact.
Okay. Thank you very much. You helped me a lot, and I'll just go and read those scriptures again. Thank you.
You got it. And there's so many other problems with the Watchtower organization. Christians believe that all believers will spend eternity with Christ in a new heaven and a new earth. But the Watchtower organization teaches that only 144,000 people are going to make it to heaven, while the rest of the faithful will live apart from Christ on earth. And therefore, in Watchtower lore, there's a little flock of 144,000 who get to go to heaven, and a great crowd of others who are relegated to earth. The heavenly class are born again. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They partake of communion. The earthly class, of course, cannot. And to substantiate the notion that heaven's door has been irrevocably closed in 1935, I believe the Jehovah's Witnesses point to the flashes of prophetic light that they received. And they were received by Joseph Rutherford at a JW convention in Washington, D.C., and other flashes of prophetic light include predictions of end-time cataclysms that were to occur in 1914 and then 1918. In the 1925 and 1975, well, they didn't occur, so what they had to do, they had to recontextualize them, and that's where you get this muddy mixture of all kinds of prophetic nonsense that deludes people, because the one thing that happens with even Watchtower members is they end up leaving the Watchtower. They fall out the back doors. Enough people coming in the front doors, you don't know, but they find out that the prophecies aren't true, and they keep seeing the inconsistencies, and then they end up not knowing what to believe and who to trust. And out they go, and oftentimes are lost to anyone else because they think, fooled me once, I'm not going to be fooled again. And many of them become ardent skeptics and atheists even. And of course, under the threat of being disfellowshipped, Jehovah's Witnesses are barred from all kinds of stuff, including some very, very meaningful celebrations. But most troubling, I think, are the regulations regarding vaccinations, organ transplants, blood transfusions. For example, in 1931, they had to refuse vaccinations. That was the Watchtower instruction back then. And then by 1952, I think, the regulation was rescinded. In 1967, organ transplants were ruled a forbidden form of cannibalism. Well, by 1980, that edict was erased. 1909, the Watchtower produced a prohibition against blood transfusions. And hopefully that one day will become a relic of the past as well. But in the meantime, what's happening? Well, tens of thousands of people have not only been ravished spiritually by the Watchtower Society, but have paid the ultimate physical price as well. So adherents are often willing to do more for a lie than Christians are willing to do for the truth. And the fact of the matter is, what they're doing is buying into a bunch of doctrinal perversions. And those doctrinal perversions are not insignificant. They're not secondary issues. They're perversions that go to the very root of the historic Christian faith. So they mock the Trinity, they mock the deity of Jesus Christ, and we as Christians have to have the antidote. Always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. Gene next in Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Hank. Love your ministry, support your ministry, and I would encourage others to do the same. With that said, my question is this. I'm wanting to do some discipling with new Christians, but I'm wondering, can you recommend one or two study guides to go along with the Bible for discipleship?
Yeah, you know, I have produced a whole bunch of flip charts that I think can be very, very helpful. First one is a flip chart on essential Christian doctrine. That's helpful because I think all new Christians have to know what they've given their life to, the main and the plain things. The essentials of the Christian faith are the foundation of the gospel. They're the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of cults and world religions. They're also the North Star by which the church always sets its sail. So to become familiar with the essentials of the Christian faith is very important. And I've, like I said, developed a flip chart that makes that memorable. Beyond that, all Christians need to know how to share the gospel, how to communicate what they believe, but also why they believe what they believe. And to that end, I've developed a bunch of flip charts that are very easy, they're memorable, but they deal with the essentials of the Christian faith, such that you can communicate that God created the universe, that the idea that nothing creates everything, that light comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces morals, is simply bankrupt in an age of scientific enlightenment. So the origins issue is the seminal issue. How one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. So I have a flip chart on that that makes that memorable, so that they can not only hear it, but remember it and communicate it. Also then, in a Christian worldview, God not only creates the universe, but he becomes knowable in the person and work of Jesus Christ and demonstrates he's God through the immutable fact of the resurrection being the central pillar on which all of Christianity either rises or falls. Again, I have a flip chart that makes the four-part argument that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 memorable. So you can not only know that Christ rose from the dead and therefore does not stand in a line of peers, but communicate it and use that as a springboard to reach people. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I'll be answering your questions again live next time right here on the show. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
You have to see it to believe it. The breathtaking new film, The Call of the Cosmos, takes you to the edge of the observable universe. Watching the universe unfold before your eyes will evoke a sense of wonder and leave you convinced that a creator is responsible for the exquisite fine-tuning of the cosmos. The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a designer. If you're already a believer, watching this film will affirm your faith in the Alpha and Omega, while also offering an overwhelming evangelistic opportunity to convince the skeptic in your life that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.